Anyways, we're going to talk, recap this sermon series of being overwhelmed. Does anyone else get overwhelmed at the word overwhelmed?
Yes.
You know, we were sitting in staff and we were discussing, you know, what is it that we need to be sharing? And, you know, I got overwhelmed at every topic they brought up because, like, each topic could be its sermon series in itself. And it's just rapid fire of some really heavy topics in multiple weeks. And it's, you know, I'm thankful for it though, because it's those topics that we tend to put by the wayside that we don't always like to talk about because it's hard and it can be messy. But I think the sermon series has done a really good job at being able to create a space where we can have those open and honest conversations. And with that, today is the last day of that overwhelmed series, but I'm going to leave you with a really heavy topic of anxiety and bring tools to get through it. And we're going to talk about anxiety. And I was talking to someone this morning. I was like, you know, I am more than qualified to talk about anxiety. But we're going to learn how to manage anxiety in a chaos-driven world. And I just want to hit some points before we get going. It's, you know, anxiety is the warning alarm in our bodies telling us that something is wrong. It could be major or catastrophic, or it could be minor, but it's still the warning alarm saying, hey, something's not right. But we need to get to the root of that anxiety in a healthy way that exposes that underlying condition of anxiety. Anxiety in itself is not necessarily the problem. It's the driving force and the root that's underneath it. It's natural to have worry and anxiety, though. It's human nature. But I'm going to be talking about the worry and anxiety that is not healthy and not natural, and the kind that robs peace in our hearts and hinders our relationship with God. So this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 12, 22 through 34. And I'm going to ask you guys to read with me verses 22 through 26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you,
do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds.
So I'm going to start with a really big question is, what is it that you worry about? And same. You know, and just take those verses in and think, what is it that you worry about? You know, for me, I have really bad anxiety when it comes to travel plans. You know, that sounds crazy, right? Because I travel constantly. I love going new places, but it is always such a struggle for me because of the anticipation behind everything. And I bring that up because, like I said, I've been trying to get this sermon out to you guys for months. And there's been lots of things in the way that's kind of hindered that. About middle of December, I was going away. I had just finished my first semester of seminary, and I was going to write this sermon. I was taking the weekend away. I was going to go to the middle of nowhere, Virginia, and just write and just be with God. And I had a wonderful time. It was so refreshed and very good place in those moments. And like I said in the beginning, I'm more than qualified to talk about this anxiety thing, but I put a big question mark next to it because it was not necessarily clear to me what it is that I was supposed to be saying, what I was supposed to bring to you guys. And so bear with me if I get a little emotional during this. This is still, I'm just being real. This is just me being emotions. Like I said, I'm still walking through this. And my family was coming in to visit me in that last week of December. And so travel plans, I was anticipating, I was anxious of my family coming to see me. And whenever my family arrived, I noticed whenever they're getting settled in that my sister was having a medical emergency. And, you know, paramedic mode went in for me. Like, all right, we're going to get you to the hospital, get you the care that you need, you know, do all the things. But I was in mission mode. I didn't, that's where I was at. And it took me a while to come, you know, to kind of come out of that. And my mom called me a few hours later and said, hey, Marcia has cancer. And they did a routine scan of her chest, and it was ate up with lung cancer. And I broke. And that was not what I was expecting at all, you know. But I immediately turned to prayer. I immediately turned to my community and immediately turned to my people and, like, turned to God to help me through those moments. Because I couldn't, there's nothing that I could do other than pray. And, you know, the doctors told Marcia, hey, you have lung cancer. Your calcium is 3 times what it's supposed to be. And there's a very high chance that you're not going to leave this hospital within 48 hours. And this is a real summed up version of the story. But she looked at the doctor and said, I'm just on family vacation. And I'm with my family. God showed up and protected her in that moment. There was no fear. There was no anxiety. There was no worry. And that radiated off to me because there was nothing that I needed to fear because I knew that everything was going to be okay. And we were blessed to have 6 more days with Marcia, and she was able to pass away peacefully in a condo with her family. And in those days ahead, I asked her, I said, do you understand what's happening? And she said, of course I do. I'm going to go be with Jesus. And my heart shattered into 1,000 different ways, but I was at peace. There's nothing for me to fear because Marcia just received some of the worst news knowing that she's dying. And she said, I'm going to go be with Jesus. As much as I selfishly wanted her to stay and be with her, I couldn't help but, you know, God orchestrated this whole situation for me to be able to even be there with her in those final moments. They came from Arkansas to be here. And it's like, that's a God thing. So back to the question, what is it that you worry about? Do not worry is a loving command by Jesus. When Jesus tells us not to worry, it's not dismissive. How often have you ever been told, it's fine, or just don't worry about it? Just throwing it out there, just kind of getting a feel for it. A lot more often than we would probably like to recognize. But Jesus doesn't dismiss us. It's loving guidance from the one who knows our hearts better than we do. We often fail to appreciate the damage and worry that worry and anxiety does to our lives. You know, prolonged stress causes damage to our immune systems, our brains, our hearts, and is one of the leading causes of heart disease and sudden death. Those are the physical symptoms. But the spiritual symptoms in our spiritual well-being and our spiritual formation is whenever we do things on our own and we don't trust, we are actively practicing a lack of faith versus a growing faith. Satan robs our peace, joy, love, and understanding of God's will in our lives when we worry and try to do things on our own. Anxiety is the weapon of the enemy, and our mind is the greatest battlefield. So how do we combat that? We'll go to Philippians 4, 6 through 7. We have that? Yeah. Read with. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the word petition in that, we have to be able to name and recognize what it is that we are anxious about. Like I said, anxiety in itself is an issue, but it's not the main problem. There's a driving force behind it, and we have to be able to name that problem. I just want to reference back to verses 25 and 26. It says, you know, worry accomplishes nothing, and we add nothing fruitful to our lives by worrying. When we release our worries to God, we invite him to transform our hearts and shifting our perspective from earthly possessions to eternal values. And that equips us to live for his kingdom. It's more than just a word. This is what kingdom life looks like. There's a book I read in seminary. Well, I should say a book. I've read 30 books in seminary. And more to come. You know, I've read probably 30 books in the last semester, like 6 months. And that's a record for me. But you know, some good, some are like, yeah, I'm glad this is over. But, you know, one of the best books I've ever read it's called Wesleyan's In Reading Bible and Scripture, and I 10 out of 10 recommend it. But I pulled a quote out of there that says, "We can deepen our knowledge and grow in wisdom by approaching the Scriptures regularly, faithfully, and prayerfully, asking the Holy Spirit to guide our understanding." So my first point this morning is, bring your worries and anxieties to the Scriptures and allow God to work in and through you for your transformation and the building of his kingdom. And we do that by being regularly, faithfully, and prayerfully. It's quiet in here. Y'all doing okay? Did I said something? Is it me?
Don't worry about it.
Ooh. You know, so all that stuff happened with my sister in middle of December, beginning of January. But in late November, early December, you know, I was kind of going through it myself in some other personal areas, like stress at my job. You know, some career progression was at a complete standstill, and it was going at pretty much nowhere at that point. And I was trying to balance work, my full-time being in school, all the responsibilities I do at the church, and still be present for my family. And, you know, I was going through it because, like, that's my first semester of school, and, like, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, there was so many different things. And I full transparency, I probably didn't handle a lot of that well my first time, but I share that because we were at a work Christmas party, and I was on the committee to help set that up and plan it, and if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have gone to the work Christmas party. And if you were with me during my first sermon, you would know that large gatherings with alcohol is not necessarily the greatest place for me. But, and also, like I said, I was on the planning committee, and the command master chief of the base was, you know, giving his address to the command, and right before we were about to eat, he was like, Petty Officer Boyd is going to come up and bless the food for us tonight. And I was like, Petty Officer Boyd was not on that planning to do that. And, you know, and I was immediately anxious because I was like, wait a minute, put me on the spot. But I went and did, you know, it's not, but it was, I was really anxious. And so I had the opportunity to pray over 200 sailors and civilians in that room. And still to this day, that invites fruitful conversations into the place I work about God. And you're probably wondering, how does that story apply to anxiety? But, you know, people see and recognize you, even if you don't see it in the moment. I didn't know that Command Master Chief very well, but he knew me. And I'll tell you something funny about that. He said, he pulled me to the side afterwards. He said, we knew you were a man of God and you were sober, and there's not a lot of people who meet that criteria in this room tonight. And we really appreciate you doing this for us. We must wear Jesus well, even whenever we are going through it. In our jobs, communities, schools, and everywhere that we interact and encounter people. When we hit that roadblock that causes so much anger and worry, anxiety, we must recognize that the potential that something still needs to be developed. And it's not time. Even if it's something that we're called to do, we must recognize that it is always God's time and not ours. Letting go of the things that we have no control over and letting God work will bring us great peace. Verses 27 through 31 says, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Just as he cares for the wildflowers or the lilies in the King James Version, the grass, birds, God provides, and they do nothing and ask for nothing. Yet he tends to them. God provides for his people, and our needs are met in ways beyond human effort or control when we put our trust in him. You of little faith. That sounds kind of harsh if that's coming from anybody. That sounds, it doesn't matter how you say it either. You of little faith. Or you of little faith. Like, there's no good way of saying it. Thank you for saying what I was going to say. But I don't take that as harshly as it may sound. You know, I would encourage that we view that from a point of view as an invitation. Yeah. to step out more into trust for a more solid relationship and acknowledging that God has a plan for our lives, and that is the invitation that he wants us to trust in. God wants your heart in the good, the bad, and through it all. The world chases security and wealth, status, and control. But true fulfillment is found in seeking God's kingdom first. And that realigns our priorities and brings peace. So my question this morning, what do you need to let go of to surrender to God fully? Do you have a limited this world focus that is blocking your kingdom view? Verses 32 through 34. Do not be afraid, little flock. I love that, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Fear often fuels our anxiety. But Jesus tells us not to be afraid because our Father is pleased to give us his kingdom. We are not left to fend for ourselves. Anxiety often stems from the fear of losing what we think we need. But Jesus challenges us to redefine treasure, not in what we own, but in how we trust and live for him. Letting go of control doesn't mean losing security. It means finding true security in God. The things we hold on to for comfort may actually be the very things keeping us from peace.
Come on.
Say that one again.
Yes. Yes.
Anxiety tells us to store up the earthly treasures for protection. But Jesus invites us to build a treasure that will never fail. One rooted in faith, generosity, and surrender. When we cling too tightly to what we have, we leave little room for God to move. When releasing our grip on worldly security opens us up to the fullness of what he wants to give us. Psalm 91, you called me out on that first thing this morning. 1-2 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Peace comes not from what we hold on to, but from where we place our trust. Today's bottom line. Anxiety often reveals what we are most afraid to lose. If your heart follows your treasure, where is your heart today? And what would it look like to fully trust God with it? As Pastor Jen comes up for the closing prayer, I just ask yourselves, where is your heart today? What is that thing that I need to let go of? What is that thing that is blocking our views from living in peace?
Great job.
Such a good word. Anybody else feeling challenged this morning?
Impressed.
Holy Spirit, yes. Holy Spirit, I don't know about you guys. Holy Spirit poked me in the chest a couple times. What's the thing I'm holding on to? What is God inviting me to have his kingdom view of? And instead I'm trapped in a cycle of worry. And he's saying, don't do that. See what I see. Let me give you my vision.